faithfully, and none of my words shall come to fruition. And I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. This I title, Let Your Yes Be Yes and Your No Be No. It seems kind of out of place, but this ties in with what Yeshua's teachings was while he was living on this earth to clarify some of the issues that we were having. We are living in a time where man's words are meaningless and empty. You may say, I honor my word, but statistics prove otherwise. Meaning that all the things that we have to do on contracts, the pages and pages of things that we have to sign and verify and initial, saying that my word is worthless only by this legal document is it made to be true. And there's things and conditions in the contract that say if I violate these things, then I will be liable by a court, by punitive damages, my name and my reputation be ruined. My company, I could forfeit all my possessions. It would be sold and the assets be divided among those who I signed a contract with. So if this is a society that people to honor their vows, then why do we have multiple pages of contracts? Why are the courts filled with case after case of people breaking their vows? Why do we have divorce courts? Can you imagine a special division just to handle divorces? 100 years ago, this would never have been thought of. We do not have divorces that are on grounds of adultery only. It is now we have a thing called no-fault divorce. So if I don't like the way my wife or the wife doesn't like the way the husband dresses or for any particular reasons, she can file for divorce and more likely she will get it. So there's all these things that are in our court systems now that were never part of it and never was intended to by God. In fact, when you look at what Yeshua said, that he says that divorce was only there because of our hard heartedness. So what happened when two men make a vow and they shook hands and the deal was done? When a man and a woman stood before a congregation, they exchanged vows, and it was until death do us part. Now, that is a thing of the past, and it's sad to say so. Where divorce is so rampant and all around the world, it's ridiculous. Even where we're at, they have divorces. And it's even written in the marriage contract what happens if there's a divorce. And in our day in the United States and elsewhere in Europe, they have prenuptial agreements to protect assets that were prior to marriages. This was never even thought of before. But now we become so greedy, so one-sided, that we don't honor our word. And it's a detriment to not only our testimony, the congregation, God's people, but also to our testimony to the people of the world. What good is it being a Christian if we're part of this whole thing and we're involved in not dealing right with people? We use unjust weights and measurements. In this Torah portion, it starts with vows for men and for women. For men, is straightforward. We make a vow, you keep it, you're 100% liable for it. No other thing is even talked about on this. But for women, it varies from which station of life that she's in. If she's unmarried in her father's house, and her father hears of it and says nothing, then she's liable for the vow. If she, in the hearing of the vow and speaking, he can speak out against it, and then she's released from the vow. This is true if she's in her husband's house as well. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 and 37, through 37, it says, again, you have heard, what is that? It's been said of the ancients, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, because it is God's throne, and not by the earth, for it is footstool of his feet. Not by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more of this, these come from evil. Out of our own hearts, in other words. So, in Acts 4, 32 through 37, and also carrying on to 5, 1 through 11, this is talking about Ananias and Sapphira. They made a vow before God. They did not honor the vow. They changed it and not even acknowledge that they changed it. They made everybody believe what they said was true, and they gave of what they said they got from the sale. But they didn't lie to the man alone. They lied to God. In verse 32, it starts, "And the multitude of those believed were of one heart and one soul, and not one said of anything which possessed of his own. But they had all things common. And the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, with great power and with great grace was on them all. For neither was any in need among them. For as many that were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that they were sold, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed, then distribution was made to everyone according to as he had need. And Joses, who was surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, which is being translated the son of consolation, a Levite, a Cryptite by race, a field being his, selling it, he bore the proceeds and placed it at the apostles' feet." Carrying on the next chapter. "And a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back some of the price. His wife also knowing brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own authority? Why have you conceived such a thing in your heart, and you have not lied to men, but you lied to God? And hearing these words, Ananias fell down and expired. And great fear came on all those who heard these things. And the younger ones arose, wound him up, carrying him out, and buried him. And it is by about the space of 3 hours afterwards that his wife, not knowing what had been done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. And then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And she fell down and at his feet and expired. And the young ones found her dead and carried her out and beside her husband and buried her. And great fear came in all the church, and as many heard these things. When you make a vow, not just to man, but you also make a vow with God. And this is the thing that's in the Torah portion. It's more expressed in what Yeshua said. It's not just what you say with your mouth, is what's in your heart that's important. It's not just what you say and do with your hands. It's what's in your heart. Was it for the right motives? Was it for the things that are for God or for a man or for yourself? The enemy can operate in your heart just as well as anybody else. If you listen to the wrong voice, you could be led astray. In 2 Timothy 3:1-9, know this also, that in the last days grievous times will be at hand. For men will be self-lovers and money lovers and boasters and proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, unyielding, false accusers, without self-control, savage despisers of good, traitors, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. Even turn away from these, for these are those who creep into houses, led captive silly women loaded with sin, led away with different kinds of lust, ever learning and never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. But as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resisted the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their foolishness shall be plain to all, as theirs also became. What is the result of breaking your vows? You may say that you did not mean it when you said it. Well, then I say, well, why did you bother signing the contract then? Why did you bother uttering the words to say you're going to do something and you turn around and don't do it? Why bother saying that I will stand up for you, and then later on they walk away and they're emboldened and they go away and they don't help you. They rebuke you more or less. But that is not how God looks at it. You are breaking your vows as far-reaching impact on your family, friends, and your community. When you make a business deal and you break the deal, many things could play into this legally, financially, and affects your personal life. Not only that, I may add that it also affects your testimony. It affects your relationship with not only man, but also with God. If we are oath breakers on truth, on true and what we say, then what good is our testimony? It's no good. There is more to it than that. Your relationship with God is severed, and you cast a bad light on your testimony. Until you make right the vow and restore what you said that you would do, it will impact on what you do and from that point on. So what I'm saying here is, when you say something, do what you say. Honor what you say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When our children were little, and I often said this, not even reading this before, that why is it I have to fulfill my vows and nobody else does? Well, it's because we have a higher calling. We are looked at by God as the example and not the exception. He wants us to live out a life that's pleasing to Him and without any rejection of what the truth is, by doing what He says to do without even wavering it. If you say one thing and do something else, you're no better off than what the world is. And what kind of testimony is that? You may say, how so? No one will be able to trust you. Your word will become ruined. And it was also, when you looked at it in our Torah portion, later on, he goes in to describe in further detail what happens when you don't honor your own word. Look at what Balaam did. Balaam turned around and he blessed the people of Israel because God made him honor his word. And then later on, he went to Balak and said, well, you know how to do this? All you have to do is get them to sin and not come to the knowledge of what God has for them. They break their oath. They break the vow what they made with God. They are the ones that will be ruined. They turn around, and Balaam got killed in this. The children of Moab, the Midianites got killed. The only ones left were the women, the girls, that had no knowledge of men. All the boys, all the men, all the adult women, all their lands, all their households, they were destroyed because of what Balaam had done. Measure for measure, God remembers what you do to His people. And it reminds me of when a caretaker of my wife, she made a vow. She said, I will be there. I will honor my vow. And she turned around the next day and didn't even come. And my wife was laid in a heap and outside our house. It took two people to lift her up and bring her into the house. But they left her by a chair on the floor. My landlord and her and his wife picked her up and put her in a chair. This is a ramification of when we say one thing and do the other. This is something that should not be done. We need to be trustworthy. We need to be upholding God's rules and laws and love people with all of our heart, soul, and mind as we do God. He said to love others as we love ourselves. In the worst case scenario, you could wind up in jail. I worked in two penitentiaries, I came to realize that the jails were full of people who broke their vows. They didn't honor their vows with their husbands, their wives, the people that they did business with on a regular basis. They murdered, they killed, they stole, they took what wasn't theirs. They laid their hands on things that didn't belong to them. The people were there, they were saying, oh, I'm innocent. This Torah portion covered many things. Oaths. What are we going to do with our oaths? The war, the children of Israel against the Midianites. The division of land. what do the fathers do? What happens when their fathers only had daughters and heirs as heirs? This is leading to the final days of the life of Moses, a man who was completely sold out to God, a man who saw God face to face as a man talks to a man. What an honor it is to serve God in the way that Moses served God. We should all strive to serve God with all of our heart and soul and mind as Moses did. What an example it is to us. And then Yeshua comes and he says the same thing. We're to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole being, and do what we say. To begin with, when we make a vow, an oath, in other words, mean what you say, and what you say you mean. Jesus never minced words with people. He told them exactly what they needed to do. When the rich young ruler came to him, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Well, you only lack one thing. Sell your possession, give it away to the poor." He had great possessions, and he couldn't do it. He walked away. And how many times do people walk away in their own lives? The people that we depend upon. The people that say they're going to help us out in the time of our need. And when we have need, they just turn a blind eye, raise a hand, and walk away. We need to live each day with intention to serve him, to love him with our whole heart, and not wavering in any aspect of what we say or do. We must be a light to the lost and of the lost and dying world. Show them the way, the truth, and the life. The life that was only found in what Yeshua had done as the Messiah. In all of this, in Matthew 5:37, let your word be yes, yes, no, no. For whatever it is, more of this comes evil. We have to be consistent in everything that we do. And this is what I had.